We're speaking with Gene Bolduc, the host of The Weekend Water Cooler, and we've got to talk about this week in news, of which
there is...
Yeah,
that's kind of the adult's cue, isn't it?
A really significant amount yet again. Like, we've... Every single week now, and pretty much every single day, we're here in the studio, and Blake's our news director. We've got a small staff and a lot to cover, but we always come on the air and say, man... This story would totally be our top story of the day if not for this
week.
Other thing that happened.
Everything
Annetta
that
Streeter stepped down
as
member of the Chapel Hill Harbor City School Board. Like, that's big news locally.
Right.
We're not giving it hardly any attention at all because we've got a hurricane coming and the Board of Governors
and
doing silly
another hurricane
things
behind
with the,
it, by the
and
way.
And another
which,
hurricane behind it.
Which they're saying is
does
not going to
look like
come
it's
going
to turn out to the Atlantic,
but
still.
You know, sometimes hurricanes don't follow the plans that we have for them.
Yeah. And all of that is what's happening now immediately here locally that we're concerned about. At the same time, you've got this ongoing fight over Silent Sam, Confederate monuments, white supremacy on campus and around the South and around the country. And on Tuesday, Donald Trump issues this executive order rescinding DACA in 6 months, which is going to affect 800,000 people in America directly, including 50,000 here in North Carolina and quite a few in the Triangle.
And then he drew a deep breath.
Yes.
And then said, oh, but not for 6 months and no reason to worry, nothing to worry about. There are tweets and there are public statements from him saying, oh, you know, you don't have to worry about this.
Right.
And if you are worried about it, I'm going to look at it again.
It's going to be the
Congress,
best policy, the
yeah,
best.
Well,
everyone's
the
going to be happy.
Does,
they're going to
the
love me. They're going to build
act,
statues.
If the Congress doesn't act, I'm just going to look at it again, which is basically saying...
Nothing at all, like every
Congress
other tweet
If the Congress doesn't codify this, then I'm going to either leave this executive action in place or sign one of my own. And he has made... And he does this all the time, so it's not even, it's hardly even noteworthy, but he has made a statement to cover almost every contingency so that everybody in the issue, everybody looking at it, can point to something and say, see, he said that, I told you he would say that, and this is good, or this is bad, or this is the other thing. And you don't know what it's going to be.
And the thing is, and I've been saying this for a long time, and we've had this conversation where I said, you know, I am feeling so much better and less anxious now every time Donald Trump sends out another tweet because I stop paying attention to them. Like, I don't put any stock whatsoever in the words. Like,
what
he says, is it true, is it not? There's no correlation between what he says and truth, which is a very specific thing to say because that's not to say that he lies. If you're saying he lies, that is saying there is a correlation between what he says and the truth. The truth is over here and what he says is over here. There's no correlation. They're just completely at cross purposes with
each
other.
These are just entirely cheap comments directed exactly at the Peanut Gallery comment section, Republican id, whatever you want to call it, that his supporters are.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with what's actually going to happen. So I pay a lot of attention to what Jeff Sessions said.
Yes.
Because he came out and made his very serious announcement and has begun. And there will be no more people getting DACA status now, starting now.
Mm-hmm.
That's an actual policy change effective right now.
Yeah.
So that, you know, definitely represents a change. And the president, he's just like the most cartoonish representative of a government I've ever seen since whatever you can name that has, I don't know, it might be Family Guy or some cartoon television show, South Park, you
know,
that might have
unfortunately, I can think of a few just off the top of my head that are actual leaders of state in countries right now that I would take Donald Trump over. But
name one.
Kim Jong-un.
Probably right.
I'll take Trump over Putin.
I guess that's right.
Yeah. These are just the first two that I'm thinking of off the top of my head. Like, unfortunately, I think Trump might still be in, like, the top half, which is not saying a whole lot about Donald Trump. It is saying a whole lot about the rest of the world.
Okay, if there's a universe of 50... then he's 25. He's teetering at becoming the bottom half of 50, right?
I'd say, unfortunately, if you look at all of the world leaders, the number of good ones is very limited.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's very true.
Merkel, Trudeau, and then there's kind of a drop-off after that.
Macron, I guess.
Macron, maybe, and, I mean, his popularity is in the tank. I don't know. I don't follow French government, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
Theresa May, I guess, but, you know.
But, I mean, these are people that have at least, whatever their politics, have at least some relationship with the need for credibility.
Right. And then there are a lot of people who are just, you know, quietly running Austria or Belgium or Luxembourg,
and they just laugh quietly at the United States. They don't, you know, they maybe go to some meetings and say, can you believe that guy? But that's about it.
Although I just named three countries, and I guarantee you there is someone listening who is an expert on international relations.
And
they're
going,
not Austria. You have no idea what you're talking about.
No, not Austria.
But
it's all about skiing in Austria.
Yeah, but the where was I going with DACA? The other couple of things, one of which is even if we take Trump at his word, and even if he is perfectly sincere in saying, don't worry, nothing's going to happen, I got your back, everything's fine, it's going to be great, it's going to be whatever, you've still got 800,000 people who are left in legal limbo for at least 6 months. And I think without even necessarily saying white privilege, let's just talk about privilege in general. The best example of privilege is to not have to worry about whether you have legal status or not. Like, not to have to worry about what your legal status is or how your government is going to treat you whenever you encounter each other.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement is such a significant thing, because African Americans have been saying for decades that
I'm not
they
treated
don't
as
have
a
this
citizen.
Exactly,
right.
And they don't know. Like, when you're driving along and you get pulled over, you don't know what the encounter is going to be. If you're white and you're driving along, you have a good idea of what the encounter is going to be. If you're black, you don't. If you are gay, we had this conversation during the whole 15-year fight over gay marriage. The Supreme Court said one thing, states did another thing. It was in legal limbo. There were people who were looking at the Supreme Court to weigh in on gay marriage who did not know if their marriage was going to be legally valid until after these nine people
and
in black robes weigh in.
This affects a lot more than just the superficial aspect of being married. This has to do with survivors' rights and the ability to transfer wealth and inherit property and all kinds of things, own businesses together in joint survivorship and so forth. And, you know, I think about the issue of African Americans, you know, driving around and not knowing what they're going to encounter. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching a speech with Eric Holder when he talked about this after the Trayvon Martin murder. I think it was a murder.
Yeah.
Homicide, at least. And and he said that, you know, he was pulled over and hassled by a cop while he was a U.S. attorney.
Yeah.
And, you know, even after that, you know, that the cop was still like, yeah, well, I'm the cop here.
Yeah.
You know, you are what you say you are, but I'm the cop here.
I mean, and just personal experience, I got pulled over earlier this year in Ohio, and it was the last day of the month, and I got pulled over for doing 9 over the speed limit. So this is like, I'll still complain about this.
This is speeding ticket quota city.
I get pulled over, and I'm like, I didn't know how fast I was going exactly. Like, I knew I was going like a few miles over, but not 15 over. So I wasn't sure if it was that. I didn't know what it was. But I knew that whatever it was an encounter that I was going to drive away from. Like, I knew that.
Right.
And not everyone does.
Exactly.
And the thing with 800,000 Dreamers, DACA recipients, is that now, best case scenario for them is they're in legal limbo for 6 months. Like, that's the best possible outcome.
And it's important to realize, too, that even though I'm sure Donald Trump couldn't tell you what I'm about to tell you, you know, DACA stands for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals.
Yes.
So it doesn't say amnesty for them. It says deferred action. So their best case scenario is essentially to remain in limbo.
Yes.
They still were not in a great situation, but, you know, they could at least come out of the shadows and, you know, get a driver's license and have some form of temporary legal status, and now we're going to say, yeah, no, you can't even have that.
Right.
So, you know, it's an odd thing to say, but I think that the urge on the part of the president to stop this from being a temporary executive action and move it into legislation is the right thing.
That's
I
true.
Don't agree with his
That's
methods
true.
Here,
yes.
but and he's trying to mitigate that so, you know, he can get some juice out of it politically, but his base doesn't like this. It's helpful to immigrants.
Yeah. Although we did talk with Tom Jensen yesterday, and his base is actually split on this, which is surprising.
Well,
like
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I saw somebody on the Hill this morning, a Republican congressman, said, where am I? You know, after this big switcheroo with the continuing resolution and the funding for hurricane relief and the debt ceiling, and Trump turns to Schumer and Pelosi and says, okay, let's do it your way.
Let's do it your way.
All over. It's all over.
Yeah.
And Mitch McConnell's there walking out of the White House with Paul Ryan with pie all over his face, not knowing what happened.
Yeah.
Did you get the number of the truck that hit you?
I mean, hey, like,
that was
guy
great.
Doesn't play politics.
Did you not love that? That was brilliant.
I don't know enough about the debt ceiling fight to know which
the
end is
ceiling,
up on that one.
The debt ceiling, you know, just to give you 10 seconds on that, the debt ceiling's an artificial thing.
Well, right.
And you know, the Republicans put this in some years ago, that they were going to have to vote to lift the debt ceiling every time.
Every single time,
And they wanted to do this to keep the focus on deficit and spending and increasing the national debt and all that stuff. But the fact is that the real arguments over the government spending money ought to happen when appropriations are passed, not when the debt ceiling is.
Right, right.
So they put this extra step in that they were going to have to vote to lift the debt ceiling every year or whenever it expired or whatever.
Right.
And they ought to get rid of it. It's nonsense, and everybody knows it's nonsense. And all
right.
it does is give people like Ted Cruz the opportunity to scare everybody to death about the government defaulting.
And this is what I keep coming back to every single issue that we're talking about this week. People need to say what they actually mean. We spend so much time quoting people, quoting political figures, political figures, public figures, public officials. And I don't know if we're all supposed to pretend that they actually believe the words that are coming out of their mouth, or if we're all supposed to just wink, wink, nudge, nudge, know that they don't believe. But they don't believe the words that are coming out of their mouths. The arguments that are being made about the debt ceiling, the people in Washington who are making those arguments don't believe them. The people in the Board of Governors who said, oh, no, we support the Center for Civil Rights, we're just going
to
vote to eliminate
them to sue anybody.
It.
Yeah,
right.
We just want to get rid of it.
Don't actually believe the words that they're saying.
And by the way, let's move the home base for the university system out of Chapel Hill and to where? Did they say where?
No, they didn't say where.
They didn't say where.
Somewhere
they
more
just
conservative
said not
is
Chapel
what,
Hill.
Yeah, Raleigh or the RTP was, I think, what was suggested.
Let's move it to the township of not Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
And then we can build a wall around
Chapel Hill like Jesse Helms wanted.
Like Jesse Helms said, right, exactly. Well, so Jesse's dream is finally fulfilled.
Yeah.
What an idea.
Yeah. Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
Well, this is so funny. It's you and Blake. We're gonna rerun that epic show with you and Blake.
That was a good show.
I re-listened to that a week ago while I was flying to Chicago, and I'm sitting there quite embarrassingly just chuckling away on listening to this podcast on the airplane.
That conversation took a turn in like the first 10 seconds.
It really
and
did.
Just kept cycling
it
around
just,
from there.
You know, it was like a car with no steering wheel.
There
it was
you
the
go.
Greatest fun ever.
So listen to that this weekend.
And really, if you need to lighten up, folks, and our times have changed a little bit. So we're on Sunday at 1 and 8 p.m., I believe.
Yep.
So listen up. You know, listen to the game tomorrow. But then when you're looking to cheer up, because I don't know how that game's going
to
go on
Sunday.
Saturday. But yeah, let's listen to the water cooler on Sunday.
Gene Bolduc, thank you so much.
Thanks, Eric.